Welcome to today's podcast. It's worth considering. Does it seem to you that life is a bit out of control? Well, if you think so, you're not alone. This short podcast is to help all of us consider the teachings of Christ, even in these out of control times. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. My co-host for this discussion is Daniel Anderson. We are going to be discussing, are you woke? Are you aware of the battle that rages, not only for our society, but for the hearts and minds of Christians worldwide? We're going to be discussing this age-old conflict, where it comes from, and what really is behind the Marxist, aka social revolution. All right. Hey, we are now recording. How are you doing there, Dan?
Doing well, David. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
You know, we have had the last, you came in last night and we spoke for hours and then we got up this morning and what?
We spoke, we listened to audio, three audios.
We have been busy reading, listening, and yet to discuss. So,
well, yeah, then we went to a coffee shop because you said it'd be good that we just go out, get away, take it easy, right? And then you bring up all these questions about Mariology.
Oh, that's right. It was the Protestant Catholic Reformation going all over again.
And you got me stumped here and there. And
worn
out there.
We've had a good time talking about a lot of different things, but you know, you've come down here to visit and also for us to do this podcast together. And, we have a lot of things that we want to discuss because there is so much going on in the world and some pretty crazy things as well.
What? Well, really?
Yes, really. And in the church, right?
What?
There's a lot that's going on in the Catholic Church, Protestant Church.
Hey, come on now. Whoa.
I know. More like woke, you know. Woke has made its way into the evangelical church. It's made its way in our society, and we're really kind of caught off guard having to deal with this. So,
yes, indeed.
So where do you want to start today?
Well, we watched that movie for over 2 hours last night and took some notes and talked about it this morning, but now I forget what it was about.
Oh, that's right. So the movie that we watched last night was Enemies Within the Church, and it really had to do with a pastor who is he's a third generation pastor, and out in, I think it was it Iowa?
Or? Yeah, I think it was Iowa.
And he's just talking, what has happened to society and why are we caught off guard and where is all of this woke coming from? And why is it making its way into the church? And so he kind of did this documentary on it. So What were some of the takeaways from that movie?
Well, I really thought it was interesting when he talked about antinomianism.
What in the world? I know what anti mean, but what is antinomianism?
I think it was somebody named Nomi that the church was against. Is that it?
I think you're
no,
right.
I think it was nomianism as like nomos, law. So anti-law. So this idea that it's, you know, all we need is like red letter only Christians, you know, just follow what's in the red in the New Testament, just Jesus and all this Old Testament stuff and the law.
Why do we need
that? No, we don't need that.
Exactly. So it's like, how do you take, you know, the first thousands of years and how God intervene in the world and talk to the world through the Jews, how can you simply say, well, it's not important and just take the red letter, the teachings of Jesus only?
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, I like that quote. Was it Augustine that, the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament? The Old Testament prefigured the New Testament, only he worded it more eloquently. But anyway, when you get into this antinomianism and you throw out the Old Testament, then this movie was talking about how that, creates the God is love apart from God's justice and God is judge. And so that's where you get love is love and love wins.
And it's really not the gospel, is
no,
it?
No, it's a perversion of it.
No, it's you got the commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love your neighbor. But that's the command. That's not the gospel.
Right.
What is the gospel?
It's a false gospel.
That is a false gospel. But what is the gospel?
Well, you're the pastor.
Well, the gospel, you know, we understand it as that man has fallen. Jesus has come not to condemn the world, but the world's already condemned, right? So he came to preach the kingdom, and it is through his sacrificial blood, dying on the cross for our sins, that we can now have salvation. Now, having salvation,
Amen.
Then we are to go out and to love the Lord our God
right.
with all our hearts. But we have to know him first.
Right.
And so...
And that these laws that God has established, they're not because he's a bully and he doesn't like to see us have fun. It's because he loves us and it protects us. And also our following those laws embedded in his creation, nature, glorifies God.
Well, here's a question. I'm just going to throw it out there, and I think it's going to come back to me, I think, the way I know it. So did Jesus come to abolish the law?
Yeah, because he just wants us to have fun. Right?
Well, I guess I threw a curveball there, but you decided not to swing. No.
I mean, there's that gospel. It's, oh my goodness, what is that verse, that scripture verse?
I did not
about do what thou wilt, that one.
No, do what thou wilt. The idea, of course, is that Jesus says, I did not come to condemn the law, to finish it. I came to fulfill the law.
Amen.
And that idea of fulfilling, and we kind of talked about that earlier, and is that he lived a perfect, sinless life. And so he fulfilled that law. But he also did more in that he kind of gave greater light to what the law was all about.
Yeah, fulfilled it, the fulfillment of it, the true meaning behind it.
Yeah, so when he says in the Old Testament, you know, thou shalt not lie, okay, what he was saying is that you need to speak the truth.
Right, you know, or the one about lust.
The one about lust, that if you simply look at a woman and you lust after her, well, you've committed, well, you have committed adultery.
Right. And so, that one about the Sabbath.
So that we need to keep the Sabbath, and meaning so Jesus is our Sabbath. He kind of explained what that was. We were to, in the Old Testament, have a separate day, and Jesus comes and he says, I am the Sabbath.
Yeah, and that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Yeah.
He's fulfilling the law.
Yeah.
And giving its true and deeper and full meaning.
When he says, you know, don't commit murder, you know, he then says, hey, it is written, as he talks about in the book of Matthew, that it is written that you should not commit murder. But I say to you, whoever says raka is in danger of judgment. Meaning if you are really at a higher level of anger, okay, that you've already committed murder in your heart.
Yeah.
And so if you commit murder in your heart and God judges you according to, well, your thoughts and your deeds, then you're going to stand before him guilty.
Absolutely.
So Jesus came not to end the law, but actually to fulfill it, to give us a better understanding.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
And keeping these commandments is loving God and loving our neighbor.
Absolutely. So we have to look at the Old Testament and keep that because Jesus, well, he is the law and he is everything of the Old Testament fulfilled. So we can't throw that out, and that's what this movie was talking about, is that the enemies within the church is that so many people today want to say, well, Jesus is all about love. Don't judge. Love, 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 love.
Love, love, love.
Yes, pretty much like that.
Yeah.
And he was saying, hold it. We are not giving the gospel. We're talking about the command. And if you don't give the gospel, how are people going to be saved?
Right. And I love, too, how the movie went in and talked, combined all this stuff regarding pietism,
which keeps
us from engaging the world.
Yeah, pietism. I was taken back by that word because it's not something, I don't use it in my everyday language. What's pietism?
Well, he explained the roots of it being in Germany, where it started off, you know, with a good heart in that, hey, Christians, we need to be separate from the sins of the world. You know, the Puritans picked that up, and so they would say, we are separatists. And the idea for some of them became, so we're going to basically like head for the hills. What we're supposed to do is pray and love God and, you know, be holy, keep ourselves unstained from the world. That's what we're to do. So we're supposed to be separated. So our love, you know,
so
this phony version of love becomes not love at all, because in your separating yourself from the world, in other words, not being salt and light, not applying the full gospel, including the law, Jesus as the fulfillment of the law, not having that light within society and having your effect on it, means there's going to be a vacuum, and that vacuum will be filled.
Okay, let's just step back for a second, because when we're looking at pietism, it's really talking about being a pacifist, right?
There are a lot of,
What I mean by pacifist is somebody, as you mentioned, they're not engaged.
Right.
They're simply pulled out of society,
right.
Say that let the world do what the world's going to do, and I'm not going to go fight wars, but I'm not also going to engage them in the culture which I am a part of.
Yeah, and you brought that up for me. It was challenging that I have to think and pray about regarding social media, because I had mentioned to you, you know what, I'm off of Facebook, I'm off of Twitter, I'm off of yada yada, you know? And it's like, well, wait a minute now, you know, isn't that, aren't those platforms very effective in the world? So what if all Christians did that? Well, then are we just giving up a tool and then creating the vacuum which Satan will fill?
Oh my, and that kind of talks about the idea when we pull out, when the church pulls out, it creates a vacuum, okay? And that really is what, you know, Jonathan Cahn talks about in The Harbinger of Things to Come.
Yeah, that was a good movie too.
When God pulls out, then all of a sudden, the demonic world that was pushed out of this world when Christians came in, meaning that when Christianity came to the United States, it really set forth its territory, and the enemy, spiritual enemies, had to vacate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as God pulls out, because humanity has pushed him out of culture, out of society, God says, okay, I'm going to leave, and the vacuum is open, and Satan starts to come in, and he comes right through these gateways.
Yeah, this book, or this video, Enemies Within the Church, was showing that Marxism always followed that hole. It followed pietism from England, or from Germany, you know, and into England, into the United States, that where there was pietism meant the Christians were thinking they're being holy, but they're not having their voice in the public square, and guess what filled the void?
Oh,
the movie was showing Marxism is what filled it.
So when you're talking Marxism, then we're talking about what happened in World War I and II, and where the whole world was engaged not only in a physical war where lives were lost, but it was a spiritual war, one of light against darkness.
Yeah.
And we're kind of back here again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the movie does a really nice job in that it traces its roots back to Marxism.
Right.
And, you know, and people, it's been generations removed from that.
Right.
But you can see the same spiritual warfare that brought that world, those world wars together, right at our front door today.
Right.
And the difference between Marxism and what is propagating and the Christian view is, how would you describe that?
Well, I mean, step number one, Marxism is atheism.
There's no place for God, is there?
Normally. I mean, of course, the movie showed that there are plenty of Marxists who take advantage of naive Christians and use the scriptures and Christian-sounding talk as cultural Marxists in order to win over Christians. So,
oh,
yes,
sure, the enemy's going to use it.
Yeah.
But in true Marxism,
yeah,
there
atheist.
Is no place for Christianity.
No, and even the traditional family in Marxism, there's no place for that, because that stands, the movie explained that those things stand in the way of the state being God, statism. So if you have people getting their main, you know, inculcation growing up through family and church, well, then that's a barrier to the state. But no, the state wants to have control of your children. They want to have control of your marriage. Your marriage, too, is in the way. You're being a father, a patriarch, you know, that's in the way of children.
But hold it, aren't those things, in the reality of Marxism, is that those are the things that stand in the way of a utopia,
yeah.
Of a world that is much greater than the one that we are currently in.
Yeah, which is, in all this is just like religious language, you know? I mean, we talk about the kingdom of God. Yeah, they talk about the utopia. We
sure.
have our original sin.
It comes
they
right back.
They have their sin, whether it's like, whether now with cultural Marxism, with its way through critical race theory and diversity, equity, inclusion stuff, which this movie showed to be thinly veiled Marxism, you know, you have salvation there too. Hey, all you have to do is denounce your whiteness.
Let's stop for a second, because we say this is going back and we can kind of take it, you know, into history and look at the world wars and Marxism and the fight against communism and fascism. But then reality is that we can take this all the way back to Genesis.
Oh, absolutely.
Genesis chapter 3, where you have the fall of man.
Mm-hmm.
That here's God's kingdom. He sets it up. He sets a man and a woman and a family, and he says, this is the institution by which I will show myself mm-hmm. in a world at that particular time that was not fallen, to help man to understand who he was. And then he would even personally engage
yeah.
in the cool of the evening,
yeah.
and he would walk with Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
But then Satan came along.
Right.
And that's the world that God created, one that was not just physical, but also had the spiritual element.
Yeah.
But he came as rebelling against God mm-hmm. and says, hey, Adam and Eve, I got something better for you.
Yeah, hath God really said?
Exactly.
And so the movie showed very well, too, about this deconstruction movement, where encouraging Christians to deconstruct their language. Like, hey, you need a new hermeneutic that you use in order to interpret Scripture.
Oh, boy, that is a power to control language,
yeah.
control thought, controls action. So Satan says the various thing. Did God really say? In other words, did God really mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Secretly or, you know, craftily undermining our faith in Scripture, of God's word.
Who God is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so that's what Satan does from the very beginning. That's what we see in Marxism, taking the language, the religious language of evangelicals and of society, and said, okay, we're going to talk about justice. No, we're going to talk about social justice.
Yeah.
And they're going to take about, you know, other aspects that, you know, we consider value. They've stolen out of our, well, out of our wheelhouse, and they've made them their own.
Yeah.
And we're saying, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And by naive, good-hearted Christians, it's very effective. Do you care about what happened with slavery in America?
Oh, absolutely, right?
Are you benefiting from it, maybe in unjust ways? Yeah, perhaps so. So you feel guilty, right? Okay, you know what then? Here's the hermeneutic. You see, you, as a person of privilege, cannot interpret Scripture rightly. It can be interpreted rightly only by those who are oppressed. So with their interpretation, that's the hermeneutical key. Now you can understand Scripture.
It sounds
so familiar.
It doesn't
mean what it actually says, like with standard, logical, rational principles of interpretation. No, there's a deep hidden meaning. And it's this gnosis, this Gnosticism, this hidden knowledge that only if you're in this intersectionality of one of these oppressed groups are you able to have the secret key to really understand the deep hidden
okay.
meaning of Scripture?
All right, one second here. So, and the reality is because it sounds so familiar, it speaks to the heart about issues that, of course, we're all concerned with, right? What they've done is that they have stolen it from our wheelhouse. And the reason they've done so is because we weren't even taking care of it.
Yeah.
We weren't dealing with justice. And so they could come in and steal it, and we don't even know it's missing because we haven't dealt with it. And then all of a sudden they change the language and they say, okay, it's social justice. And we say, hold it, that sounds familiar. Yeah,
yeah.
We should be concerned about social justice. And then they talk about prejudice and say, yeah, we should be concerned, not even realizing that they have stolen it because of our neglect and not keeping an eye on it and dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then bring it back to us.
Yeah.
And it sounds familiar. You go, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we saw in the movie, they showed Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU. And then the other one was InterVarsity, Christian Fellowship. And they showed those huge rallies, one-year rallies of all of their workers from area colleges, I guess, or not area, I mean national national people from all over. And they said, you know, when these naive people who love God and love his word come to these things, you know what happens though? They walk out thinking, oh wow, what I need to do to really preach the gospel? Oh yeah, it's the social gospel. That means what I need to go out is spread the good news when I leave from here that we need to renounce our whiteness. Yeah, that's the gospel, right?
Right, because the sin isn't an individual sin, it's cultural sin.
Right.
And you are a people, if you're white, well, you are responsible for the oppression that's going on. And if you're black or of a different color, then, well, you're the victim.
Yeah, and how that's against the gospel then is, I seem to think the gospel says something like, all fall short of the glory of God.
All have sinned, yes.
All have sinned. And also, what about, you know, we're all in God's image. So you know what? I will say it, as shocking as this might sound, and I actually mean it, but here it goes. Are you ready?
Go for it.
All lives matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, no!
And I think everybody would agree with that.
Well, not really.
Well, everyone would agree with that. But it's going to be the emphasis is going to be turned around. Hold it, but what about black lives?
Oh, absolutely.
Lives?
They matter. Yep, just as much as I do. Uh-huh.
Yes. And so they've taken the idea that all lives matter, and they have hijacked it.
Yeah.
And then they're changing the focus.
Yeah, so if it's all lives matter and all fall short of the glory of God, guess what? Whatever your skin color is, it's not going to buy your salvation, okay? Even if you're of whatever skin color, or even if you're of whatever, you know, part of this intersectionality of LGBTQ, or whoever you are, you fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
White, black, red or yellow, whatever, you need to repent.
That's the gospel.
And accept Christ's healing grace. And if you feel like that shames you or makes you feel bad, I'm sorry. No, really, I'm not. Because you know what? We all come to this point where we feel bad. I am a sinner.
Right, we do feel bad, but why are we, and that's the piece, is not understanding why we feel bad. Why is it? And it's because we've been neglecting, and they've been able to take it and to change it, and we would say that, yeah, all men are sinners, and prejudice is wrong no matter where it's at, if it's in the black community, or if it's in the white community, or if it's in any other nationality. Prejudice simply because of color or race or whatever it might be is wrong. And we have to deal with that individually and, of course, as a society. And here's a key question. Why are they doing this?
Yeah, and here's where we could get into, you know, things where we're maybe free to interpret things differently. You know, some will use the word Marxism. Communist revolution.
Okay, so
some might instead talk about,
is it simply adopting a better philosophy, or what's the strategy that's going on? And I think that's where, when we read about some of these other, well, we read about, you know, the enemies within the church, and we then talked about Erwin Lutzer's book, No Reason to Hide, you know, and they trace this back to Marxism. They're tracing it back because not only is there a spiritual war of ideologies, okay, there is a world war,
yeah,
like of communism that says we're going to take over the United States and never fire a shot.
Right.
Soviet Union and communism has studied the United States and Americans well enough to understand their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And so they have infiltrated, you know, our schools of higher learning. They've infiltrated our entertainment world for the purpose of dismantling, weakening,
yeah,
and destroying this country from within.
Yeah.
Because they themselves recognize the power that the United States has isn't its, yeah, economic system, isn't it its governmental system. It is fact, and in fact, Christianity and the values it places on the institution of marriage and family and God.
Yeah, they said that there was a 20-year study done by the Chinese government, the Communist Party, to show that that's the case, that it was... the take on the movie that it takes is that what we are talking about actually is communism.
And these are things that they've actually have exposed.
Yeah.
These are just not pie in the sky ideas.
No.
These are documents and studies that have been exposed and brought to the surface.
Well, yes, yeah, as a matter of historical fact, the KGB did control the World Council of Churches. So going back, you know, to the social gospel or the liberals of, you know, early part of the last century, the KGB actually was involved in that. And it also brought out, of course, with Catholics too, Belladad, who it said brought in 1,100 Catholic priests who were communists, that she actually was working for the Communist Party. And she testified before Congress when she actually turned to her faith for real.
See, this is interesting because Americans are busy. We are busy working, raising our families, taking the kids to the soccer games, and we are all about just, you know, with life. But there are those who are all about the demise of our country.
Right.
And of course, that makes perfect sense. When we think that Russia would be involved in our elections,
right,
we think that China wants to gather information through social media platforms, that there is a invested interest in bringing down the United States for the purpose of building themselves up.
Yeah, and I think so many Christians are so dangerously naive that when you talk that way, they'll say, conspiracy theory.
Oh, yeah.
It's a, not understanding. Do you realize that there are countries that want to have power? Duh. So yeah, there are people who have planned, who are planning presently, right, to take over America, to destroy it and take it over.
We are so concerned about nuclear weapons when the most devastating thing in the world would be the collapse of our culture and our society. They will never have to shoot a gun, never have to launch a missile. It will simply have been lost because the American culture will have been lost.
Yeah, I think we're seeing it disintegrating right now. And just because it's being disintegrated by plans of enemies is not then to say that it is not the judgment of God. So just like God used the Assyrians and the Babylonians do his work in judgment of Israel. So, I mean, if an Israelite back in the day would have said, that's not God, what are you talking about? It's the Babylonians. Yeah, no bigger picture here. God is using the Babylonians because guess what? We've rejected his ways,
right,
his laws.
Hey, before we get there, let's just explore this idea a little further. And that is, you know, Putin, he looks at the structure of the family as being very important for the stability of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
And yet he understands that if we can destroy the American family, the American institutions, okay, we will have made them weaker to be able to, well, claim victory. In the same token then, he is not going to be accepting of all these social movements that are happening in the United States, because he's not going to allow that under the new reign of communism or Marxism.
Yeah.
They're going to do away with that.
Yeah,
So those who
same
say,
with the Chinese.
Exactly. Those who think, oh, well, this Marxism is going to be embracing our belief system, they're going to be the first ones to realize we've been duped.
Yeah.
And they're going to get rid of them.
Well, Lenin called them useful idiots.
So yeah, exactly.
They're just as wrecking balls. So the communism always has done that. They want to whip up whatever people they can. You know, Marx thought it would be the proletariats, right? In order to level the system, bring it all down. Why? Because they want to reset it in their own image, their own state as God.
Yeah, and LGBTQ will not be part of that. Well, thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, the second in the series, Are You Woke? We hope you continue to tune in and don't drop out as we continue this conversation in the next episode. Until then, go out as God's ambassadors, commissioned to a world in desperate need of the gospel. God bless.